Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here today on this rainy Sunday, and thank you for being here to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements. First, you can sign your red pad and pass it down, and appreciate to have a record of your attendance today. I'm not going to make all these announcements. A lot of them are the same ones that you see week after week. But next Sunday, I don't know if this is in here or not. I'm looking for it. World Communion Sunday. I want to remind you, deacons, and we'll be setting that up, and hope everyone can come out for communion. Then the Sunday after that, we're going to have a baptism, and hope you can be there. That's always a great moment in the life of our church. And communicants class is going on upstairs now for anyone 7th grade or higher. And Cliff is teaching that every other Sunday. The Flea Teak will be held Saturday, October 20th. All donations are welcome. You can see Clara or Anna for any information on that in the Church Family Pictorial Directory. And you can sign up for that for your dates of October 23rd, 2:30. The 9 or Wednesday, October 24th from 2 to 8. And if you need more information, you can talk to Maeve or to Suzanne or call the office, or you'll find somebody that knows about it. And we have an announcement from Church Growth Committee.
Good morning. Real quick, this year, as many of you may have heard, Heartwood Acres Festival of Lights may not be going on. They couldn't find a sponsor. Through the Church Growth Committee, we were thinking about doing another trip to Overlee's Country Christmas. It would be on December 8th. We would leave the parking lot around 2:30 in the afternoon and return about 9:30. Overlee's charges $3 per person, but the total cost will all be dependent on how many people are actually coming, because the bus itself is $460. But divided by, if we get a full bus load, it would only be $13 per person. With that, it includes a private volunteer tour guide, two comps per bus, which usually is for the bus driver and the tour leader. Also, every passenger on the bus gets discount coupons for Country Village shops and foods. The bus driver and the tour leader also receive a special treat. Don't know really what the treat is. They wouldn't tell me. we would, like I said, we would leave around 2:30. We were going to have dinner at the Golden Corral, and then arrive at the motor coach entrance, take the tour, which lasts about an hour and a half. They'll drop us off at the Country Christmas Village, where we can either shop with the discounted coupons or have some fellowship around the bonfire. We would leave around 8 o'clock at night and be back at the church around 9:30. It's going to be a lot of fun. Last time we had it, I believe it was 2 years ago, and we were Christmas caroling the whole way down and going on the horse-drawn carriage rides, and it was just a lot of fun. We're going to be presenting it to session on Tuesday, so hopefully by next Sunday there will be a sign-up for that. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise this morning, an old favorite, 354, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Thank you.
worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father,
we thank you for loving each one of us. We praise you for providing the things we need in life. Forgive us when we fail to trust you. Forgive us for spending so much time worrying. Help us to have another day to get through today. Remind us that you will be with us tomorrow. May we learn how to place our lives in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us reaffirm our faith this morning with our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Let's take a moment to greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, be sure to ask them. Responsive reading, in the back of your hymnal, 662, Faith. 662, Faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible.
And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going.
By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise.
For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God.
By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life,
therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore.
By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son.
It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer. Sent out an email yesterday, but not everybody gets email. Diane Croyle talked with her Friday afternoon. She's going in for a lung biopsy on October the 15th. Of course, they're doing a biopsy because they don't know what's wrong, but it has characteristics of cancer cells, but they don't know. She'll be in ICU for 5 to 7 days at Passavant. So let's be in prayer for her and for John and for the family. Bev and Paul Ruby, continue to pray for them. But their daughter Debbie, who lives in Canada, had breast surgery, and so they won't know the results on that for 2 weeks. Kathy Enrito is traveling, so let's be in prayer for her. Session meeting is Tuesday night, so let's be in prayer for that meeting. And anytime any of the councils meet, be in prayer for them and for all the things that we're trying to do at Glenshaw Valley. Any other prayer requests at this time? And of course, all the persons listed on the back of the bulletin and in our Valley newsletter. Yes, Muriel. Okay, a friend with aneurysm. My name's Fran, pray for him. She's having cataract surgery Tuesday, her husband Bob, and then for Fran to sell the home. Anyone else?
Prayers for the West Penelagany Health Workers. That's where Joe works, and they're not very sure of their job right now.
Okay, for West Penn Allegheny Health System. Everyone's unsure about jobs, so let's be in prayer for them. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. In Presbyterian tradition, we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, and you know us in our humanity. Oftentimes, we feel anxious, and we worry, and we fret about things of the past, things that are going on in our lives today, and even things of the future, of which we have no control. Help us to learn to put all of our anxieties upon you, cast all of our cares upon your back, so to speak. As we draw as we talked about last Sunday, into a closer relationship with you. Help us to understand that worry and fret and doubt and anxiety does not help us. What helps us is to be closer to you, to be closer to our church family, our families, and if there's a circumstance that we can do something about, to face it and do it with a positive attitude. Always leaning upon you, looking to you for direction, for help, for guidance. Thank you for the promises within both the Old and the New Testament that you'll never leave us or forsake us. All the times that it's pointed out how much you care for us and how much you love us. And reminding us that we can at all times come directly to you in prayer, at any place, at any time. We don't need a priest or a rabbi or a minister. We can just talk to you in conversation, and then we can sit still and listen for your guidance, for your direction. And we seek to do that today. Not just in church and worship around other Christians, but remind us to do it at home and when we're at work, everywhere, at all times. Paul said that we should have a prayerful attitude at all times. So we pray for one another, for our church, for all the circumstances and people that we've mentioned, for the ones listed in the newsletter and the bulletin, for everybody that has a situation that they're not mentioning. We come together as the body of Christ, asking not only that you hear our prayers, but that you answer them according to your love and your might and your power, your wonder, your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. And thank you for giving this prayer to us, to encourage us, to help us, to remind us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. I know this is in the hymn book, but this is to a different tune. So it's, right?
It's the tune they know.
It's the tune you know. It's not the one in the hymn book, okay. So it's up on the screen. I did remember to put it in. Let's bow for a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for being a part of our lives. We thank you for the cross, and we thank you that the grave could not hold Jesus. And he showed himself to over 500 disciples, showing the reality of the resurrection. And then many witnessed his ascension into heaven. And we thank you so much, so grateful that you sent the Holy Spirit back to empower each of us and empower the church, to give us a mission. Help us to be faithful to that. And I thank you for each faithful person that is here today and all the work that they do for your kingdom and the sense of joy that they do it with. Thank you, Lord. Bless us and help us to be a blessing back unto you and to your people and to our community. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our friend, we do pray. Amen.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. How are you? Great. In John 15, Jesus reminds us that he is the vine and we are the branches. And if we reside in him and he resides in us, we will be fruitful. Now, Paul in Galatians lists what it means to be fruitful. It means to have joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, what does this have to do with our scripture today? I want to refer you to peace. A peace that comes from the hope that no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's happening to us, God is there with us and that he will lead us to a good end. So please listen to your personal message in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not spin or labor. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture. And on my personal note, next week we will not be having Bible study before church. It will resume at 9:30 the following week.
Thank you, Bill. Very, very nice. It's weird how sermons sometimes work out. This is about clothes. And when I was getting dressed to come here this morning, I hurt my thumb. You can tell it's all bruised. And this is a result of a motorcycle accident when I hit the deer years ago. And every once in a while, If I put too much pressure on it, it gets like that and I can't use it. It took me about 10 minutes to get my shirt on this morning, literally. I couldn't do the buttons. Then I was getting into the car. Sunday mornings, I don't know. I just have a tough time with them. And then I went to straighten my tie. It's kind of a habit I have. I didn't have a tie on. And I thought, should I just go on to church without it? I said, well, Yeah, old age. I thought, what will people be thinking if I go and show up with no tie? Then I thought, I started worrying a little bit. And I said, I'm doing exactly what I'm going, telling people not to do. I felt that little bit of worry come in. I said, that's crazy. A tie is not worth worrying about. But I had enough time to put a tie on, so I went and ran up and got one really quickly. But it's funny how little things can happen, and we can start fretting over the little things in life that really have no meaning. What would it matter if I had a tie on or didn't have a tie on? How many people would get up and walk out of church? There you go. She's looking for a reason. There's a story of a man who was a worrier. We all know him. He showed in his face and his posture, all humped over like he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. One day this man changed, though. He had a bounce in his step and standing straight up and looking the world straight in the eyes. Not a care in the world. And a friend asked him, well, what happened? What is the difference in you? He said, well, he confided, as you know, I've always been one to worry about everything, the little things, the big things, everything. Now I've decided that's both unwise and it's unhealthy. So I have hired someone to do the worrying for me. So, well, how much does that cost? A friend asked. Oh, about $1,000 a week. But how can you afford to pay someone that much to worry for you? The man's response, that's his worry now. Amen to that. I wish it was that easy to get rid of some of our worries, don't you? In a Peanuts cartoon, Linus tells Charlie Brown, when I hear those coyotes howling at night, it totally depresses me. I start to feel lonely, then I get scared. Charlie Brown says, I thought holding on to that blanket made you feel secure. Then Linus says, you know, I think the warranty has run out on my blanket. And that's the problem with most security blankets, the things that we hold on, the warranty runs out. Irma Bombeck once told about a little guy named Donald. He was worrying about his first day of going to school. And I still remember my first day of school because I had a little horror story. And here's how he expressed his anxiety. He says, my name is Donald, and I don't know anything. I have new underwear. I have a loose tooth, and I don't sleep at night because I'm worried about going to school. What if a bell rings and a man yells, where do you belong, and I don't know? What if it's trays in the cafeteria too tall and I can't reach it and get my tray for my lunch? What if my tooth comes loose and there's time to put our heads down on the desk and I start bleeding? Am I supposed to bleed quietly? What if I splash water on my name tag and my name disappears and no one knows who I am? Poor Donald. Poor us. Worry about the big things, the little things. Worry about the future. Worry about the past. Worry about our finances. Worry about our family. And it's for people like Linus and Donald and you and me that Jesus once spoke these words. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? My guess is there are some of you in this room today who need to heed these words of our Lord. You're literally worrying yourself sick over some situation in your life. You're weighing yourself down with still another situation in your life, and they're starting to pile up on you. And it's breaking you down, breaking your back, so to speak. And you need desperately to stop for a moment and consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and turn your worries over to God. Worry is a needless burden that keeps us from being all that God created us and called us to be. That's the conclusion of a well-known author and teacher, Dr. Eric Butterworth. If you have a real problem, it alone is that of worry. If you're already ill, Dr. Butterworth says, would you take something which would further upset you? Eat out the lining of your stomach? Give you a headache? Make you tense and make you irritable? Of course not. Yet that is what we do when we have a problem and we treat it with worry. We simply add another burden and make the situation even worse. So how can we get rid of this demon called worry? What does Jesus say can help us lighten the load for today? First of all, we need to understand that worry is not based so much on outer circumstances as on an inner condition. Do you understand that? I mean, really understand it. Worry comes not so much from what is happening to us from the outside things coming at us, as much as it comes from how we process it on the inside. You don't need to raise your hand, but is anyone in this room going to go hungry today? Is anyone going to lose their home today? Probably not. Maybe so. If you are, talk to me. Talk to someone. The people Jesus was speaking to had real concerns about survival. Real concerns. There was no government programs, no safety nets for them. No Medicare, no Medicaid, no hospitals to go to. They could lose their job, they could starve to death, they could literally lose everything. Everything. Most of us live lives that are much more secure than that. We worry more with less reason than any people who have ever lived on the face of this earth. Now, this is not to minimize the very real problems that many of us face in our life. Yet our worry often reflects the condition of our souls more than it does the condition of our circumstances. For some people, a bad hair day is a real crisis, a cause of deep personal anguish, and the whole day is ruined, and they're irritable all day. For others, a diagnosis of cancer can be dealt with a sense of confidence and faith, trusting in God's love. It depends on what you have on the inside more than what is happening and coming at you from the outside. Some of you know the name Tug McGraw, especially if you are a baseball fan. Today, Tug is better known as the father of country singer Tim McGraw. But old-timers remember Tug McGraw as the relief pitcher of the New York Mets. Tug is remembered for coining the motto, "You gotta believe." I like that. During the Mets' run for the 1973 World Series, he's also renowned as a star reliever who pitched the final strike in the 1980 World Champion Philadelphia Phillies, which is the only World Series they ever won. One reason Tug McGraw was successful was his frozen snowball theory of pitching. Tug explained it like this: if I come in to pitch and the bases are loaded and a heavy hitter like Willie Stargell is at bat, there's no reason I want to throw the ball to him. No reason whatsoever. But eventually I have to throw the pitch. So I remind myself that in a few billion years, the earth will become a frozen snowball, hurtling through space, and no one is going to know who Tug McGraw or Willie Stargell ever was. No one. Did you hear what he's saying? Some people in that same situation would freeze up. They would put all the pressure on themselves. I'm facing Willie Stargell. It's the World Series. What am I going to do? What if he hits a home run? What if I fail? They put the pressure on themselves, and they would add the burden of worry to the task at hand of pitching to an all-star hitter. The outward circumstance is the same, but inwardly there's a very real difference on how people face the situation that confronts them. Worry is not based so much on the outer circumstance as much as on an inner condition. We may not be able to solve the outward circumstances, but the way we respond to it can make all the difference in our lives. And one way that we do that is live in the present and focus on today. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That sounds, when you read it, it sounds very negative. You and I aren't God. We don't know the future, even though a lot of people try to predict the future, even the end of the world. We may be worrying about something that will never happen. I talk to people all the time about that. Well, did it happen? Well, no. How much time did you spend worrying about it? Oh, a lot. Sometimes years. We may be worrying about something that will resolve itself, so we need to focus on today. That doesn't mean you don't plan for things, but what good is worry going to do? A few years back, psychologist Richard Carlson wrote a best-selling book titled Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. A lot of you know about that book. Carlson ironically died of a heart attack at age 45. But he got his idea one day while driving with his 6-year-old daughter home from school. They got caught in rush hour traffic and they spent 40 minutes along the freeway. As they sat there in the car, Carlson's daughter kept looking at the car, and they were, you know how you kind of pass and you get up at somebody, and she kept looking at the people and said, Dad, why does everybody look so mad? Her statement caused Carlson to begin looking at all the people stuck in the traffic, and he realized that they did have grim looks on their face, sour-looking faces. Anxiety seemed to fill their faces. And he knew they probably weren't mad, but they sure didn't look happy, that's for sure. And it caused him to reflect on the causes of their unhappiness. Perhaps they were just thinking about what needed to be done when they got home. Perhaps they were children to pick up, errands to run, dinner to make, work to do once they got home. Or perhaps being stuck in traffic gave them a chance to think about things and start turning things over and over in their mind about their families, about their work, about their health, whatever situation might be going on in their life. And the result was that they looked mad or angry. And so Carlson wrote his book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, because he was convinced that most of the things that we worry about are really not worth worrying about in the first place. A famous speaker once put life into perspective like this. He said, you are born, big stuff. You die, big stuff. Everything in between, small stuff. Carlson's book reflects on that same perspective. In fact, the full title is Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. You all know I've been through some pretty heavy stuff in the last few years. And when Robin sent a psychiatrist for many years, I would go also. And sometimes I would go by myself to talk to her. And one day I went in, and, you know, a lot of stuff was going on. And we were talking, and I said, it doesn't matter, I'm going to die. And she looked at me, and I looked about ready to pick up the phone and dial 911, and get someone in there. And I started laughing. And she turned her head side and was kind of looking at me. I said, Ann, all this stuff doesn't matter. Truly, it doesn't, because one day I am going to die. None of this is going to matter. None of it. Not a single thing, not a single bad thing that has ever happened to me. All that I am going through in my life is not going to matter. Because I'm going to be dead, and I'm going to be in heaven. And she said, I guess you're right. And she started laughing. She said, I don't usually hear stuff like that in here. And I said, well, that's the way that it is. And that's the way I'm trying to live my life. Well, yeah, I get caught up like everybody else. Reason some of the sermons come out. Because we can all get caught up in worry. We can all get caught up in the anxiety of life and the situations and start fretting about the future and what will happen. But you got to look at the big picture. We're destined for heaven. One of the secrets of life is to focus on today. Are you healthy at this moment? Are you breathing? Have you got something to eat? Have you got a roof over your head? Then give thanks for this moment and try not to anticipate what may never occur. Live, says Jesus, in the present. And always do the right thing. Jesus says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So righteousness is a key word in the formula for defeating worry. Many people have a sense of guilt in their life, and they can't move forward, and they keep worrying because they're guilty over things that they've done back here. That's one of the things, as I talked about in AA, one of the things that they do so the people in AA can move forward, they have people go back and basically say, I'm sorry to people that they've hurt, so they can move on. Some people accept it, some don't. But they move on. One man put a firecracker on a railroad track, and it bothered him all of his life. He said, it's the only bad thing I ever did. He was 80 years old, and went back and turned himself into the police. Police said, well, there's no record of this, and statute of limitations, just don't do it again. But it had been haunting him his whole life. His whole life. Conscious problem is a little too well developed, but some people torment themselves. And so one way we can defeat worry is always try to do the right thing, focus on the day, and live righteously. And finally, trust in God's love for you. Listen to Jesus' words. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The Greek word for lilies here means wildflowers or weeds. In other words, those grasses, those flowers that just grow without you having to cultivate them, they just grow. You don't have to put any miracle grow on them or weed around them. They just grow. And since wood was scarce in Palestine, these wildflowers were sometimes used for firewood. And Jesus is saying, look, God's care extends even to these wildflowers, which eventually end up in the furnace. How much more then will God care for you, O you of little faith? And that is the heart of the problem sometimes. Our lack of faith that God really loves us, that God really will take care of us and be there with us, even in the tough times. And we really don't know how much God loves us. That's why we worry about the future, and that's why we hold on to the mistakes of our past. I love the way the prophet Isaiah puts it in the Old Testament. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." Then Isaiah adds these wonderful, beautiful words. "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." Isaiah is saying that not even a mother might forget her children, but God will never forget us, never turn his back on us. And can you even imagine a greater love than a mother has for her child in that proper relationship? And yet the testimony in Scripture is that God's love for each of us is far greater than the love that you can ever have for your child. So this is the message that Jesus sends to each of us for today. Don't worry. Be happy. Worry is not going to help you. Live in the present. Do the right thing. Remember that God loves you. God will provide for you. As Tug McGraw says, you gotta believe. Don't worry. Be happy. As a gangster in a movie might say, don't worry about it. Right? If anybody has worried about things and that's made your life better, come talk to me and tell me how. I want to know, because you're the only one in the whole world. You're special. God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, "Be Still and Know," 343. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you do feel happy. I hope that you feel less anxious, knowing that everyone goes through trials and tribulations and we have the outside things come against us. But learn to handle them with Jesus at your side, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Open your Bibles, grab a hold to a friend. Grab a hold of God. He promises to never leave you and never forsake you. And remember that you have the promise of eternity. That's forever, my friends. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.